Romans 3, verse 21. Tonight's study is entitled, Apart from the Law. Apart from the law, there is nothing that is more important in this life than the teachings that are found in Romans 3, verses 21 through 31. If you would study to find yourself approved, to show yourself approved, get verses 21 through 31 of Romans 3 under your fingertips. Get in there deep, dig in there deep, and you will see God explode in your life. In the sense of your relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those verses that are in that section of Scripture will revolutionize your life. But unfortunately, most Christians today, they don't care about doctrine. They don't care about doctrine because they're too self-absorbed and they need instant gratification. They're too self-absorbed, need instant gratification. I need it now. I want it now. But the Scripture is not like that. You must go back to it day after day after day after day after day, just as the bee goes back day after day to the nectar and sucks on the flower. Day after day. It's not instant gratification. You must take the time to study doctrine. Paul introduces this section with the words, but now. But now. And he's going to get into a host of different teaching. Specifically, revolving around righteousness. Revolving around righteousness. How men can be found blameless before God, just before God, made right before God. How is this possible? How can men be made right before a thrice holy God? Paul will go on to explain of righteousness and justification and election, all doctrines that will revolutionize your life, but you must take the time to study. And not only study now, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, these teachings should excite you. They should cause a burning of your soul towards God when you hear of these truths. But now, Paul and his teachings will show that God has provided a righteousness of his own for man, which we do not possess ourselves. The very righteousness of God would be given to sinful men and women. It would be imputed to their account. This is a strange teaching. This is beyond belief. People can't believe this, that this righteousness is also by grace. This is Paul's outline in this section. A righteousness given, a righteousness provided by God, his own righteousness provided for man, which we do not possess ourselves. This righteousness is by grace, that it is the work of Christ in dying for his people, redeeming them from their sins, that has made this grace possible. But all of this takes time. As I said, it's like dominoes. One doctrine goes into another doctrine, goes into another doctrine, goes into another doctrine. Christ dies for his people, redeeming them, making grace possible for them. Also, we will see that this righteousness God graciously provided is ours by simple faith. The very righteousness of God is given to us by simple faith. By simple faith. And if you go back to our teachings in the beginning, you will see that the four doctrines that I just mentioned, the four teachers I just mentioned, we saw those in Romans 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. All of the doctrines that we just mentioned is found in those first five verses. Paul goes on in Romans 3 to teach these. He will go on in Romans 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, Romans 9, Romans 10, and Romans 11. And then as a result of you understanding these doctrines, you will live your life out practically. This imputed righteousness that has been given to you will result in a righteous lifestyle. Let us look at some doctrines that are before us tonight. First of all, notice that our righteousness has been given to us. Notice that it's from God. But now the righteousness of God is given to us. Given to us, it's from God. If God did not give it, we could never earn it. You can never earn the righteousness that is given to you. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. It's not earned by keeping the law. It is given us from God. And if God did not give it, we could never earn it. Why? Because it's not by the law. It's apart from the law. It's a gift freely given, beginning to end. And if it's from God in the beginning to the end, then all praise goes to God. Paul spoke of this righteousness in Philippians 3, that it is all of God, and that God will receive the praise. Philippians 3, verses 4, 8, and 9. We see of this righteousness of God that's given. See, Paul had tried to come up with a righteousness of his own that's through the law. We see this in Philippians 3. Verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He's saying, as far as keeping the law, there wasn't no one like him. Look at verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So there's a righteousness that is in the law that Paul said he was blameless in keeping it. But now in Romans, he's talking of a righteousness of God. He's not talking about the righteousness which is in the law. He's talking about the righteousness of God. And that he found, look what he found out in verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. See, if you would gain Christ, you must count all those things as rubbish, all your good works. Notice, verse 9, and be found in him. See, the righteousness of God apart from the law, and be found in him. Notice, he just got done talking about, look at verse 6, the righteousness which is in the law. Now in verse 9 he says, not having my own righteousness which is from the law. So it's like, what are you, nuts, Paul? First you're saying that righteousness that's in the law. Now you're saying my own righteousness which is from the law. That you didn't have that. So what happened? The Lord opened his eyes to show him that there's a righteousness that comes from God, given from God to an individual. That's what Luther had found out. He had tried to earn a righteousness from the law until he realized through the Holy Spirit that there's a righteousness given, just like Paul found out. My own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Notice, the righteousness which is from God by faith. the righteousness that comes from God. It comes from God. It's a gift from God. It's apart from the law. If it's from the law, then it comes from within you. You're observant of the law. But Paul is saying in Romans 3 that it is apart from the law. The righteousness which is from God. Notice once again, he emphasizes that point in Philippians there. The righteousness which is from God. Not the righteousness that results from law keeping, but the righteousness that is from God. Just like it says in the text in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law. And notice what it says. Is revealed. Is revealed. It's being clearly seen now. The Jews didn't see it of old. The righteousness that is of God. But now it's been revealed. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans 1 verse 17. But in the verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Notice, it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, notice again, the righteousness of God. In what? In the gospel. In the righteousness of God is revealed, notice, from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. But notice, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Not the righteousness which comes from the law. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. See, the law reveals a righteousness is demanded of you that you don't have the power to keep. Second thing we say, apart from the law, this righteousness does not come to us. Apart from the law, this righteousness does not come from us, but apart from the law. You can't work it up. It's apart from the law. It has to be a gift from God. And let me say this, because many people, they hear that and then they say, oh, Bill, so what are you saying? There's no purpose for the law? What's the purpose of the law then? There's a purpose for the law. It does not mean a law has no value. The verse before us testifies to the law, and what it does, it brings us to Christ. The law has a purpose. It's to bring us to Christ. I'm not saying the law had no purpose. That's what the people accused Paul of saying. What are you saying? Let us sin so grace should abound. Let us man sin up a storm. The law doesn't matter. The law certainly does matter, but the law is to bring you to Christ. We shall see the law lifted up again in verse 31. Look at verse 31 of Romans 3. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. Kalila, God forbid. On the contrary, we establish the law. We show the law for what it truly is. Not what most people think the law is. People think like the Jew of old thought, that the law was the means of salvation before God. You keep the law, or you give it the best shot of keeping the law. God kind of weighs it out. Good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. They miss the whole point of the law. What the people don't understand is this, that there's two reasons the law was given. To restrain evil, as much as secular law is meant to do. That's why you have a law system. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Those are all laws for the secular authorities to use, just like it says in the book of Romans. If you don't break the law, you have nothing to fear from the authorities who have been put there by God as a sword over you. Where do you think this? Where do you think the United States government gets their law from? They get it out of the Bible. All the societies throughout history, Greeks, Romans, they got the law out of the Bible. Thou shalt not murder. It comes out of the Bible. So the law has a purpose to restrain evil, and as I said earlier, to bring you to Christ. That's the two purposes of the law. To restrain evil in society, and secondly, to show you your sin and to bring you to Jesus Christ. You must get this in your head. You must come to understand this. That one thing the law cannot do and was never meant to do was to save a person by his or her observance of it. Let me repeat that again. One thing the law cannot do and was never meant to do was for people to be saved by the observance of the law. If the law is to be of any benefit to us, it must be to enable us to see our inability to satisfy the standards of God. That's the point of the law. To show you that you fall far short of the standards that God has set before us. That is the point of it. That it would show you. Realize this. When Moses gave the law to the Jews, if the law could save you, and if it's your observance of the law that saves you, then let me ask you a question. When Moses gave the law to the Jews, if you go on to read, he also gives them instructions for the author and teaches the principle of substitution. When Moses came down with the law, not only if the law could save you, Moses would have just came down with the law. But Moses comes down with the law, and then hand in hand with the law is he brings the temple worship, the altar, the sacrifice, the principle of substitution. Because he's telling you, here, turn to Exodus 20. Notice, if the law could save you, then let me ask you, what was the point of the second part of the chapter? In Exodus 20, you have the Ten Commandments starting in the beginning, and God spoke all these words saying, and then you have the Ten Commandments going from verse 1 up to verse 17. So there's the law, right? If the law could save you, and if your keeping of the law can save you, then that would have been it. Here's the law, give it your best shot, I'm going to weigh it out and see how you do. Right? Here's the law. This is what you got to do. But notice, verse 17, the law ends, the giving of the law. But now notice, just go a couple of verses further and look at the start of verse 22. Five verses later. Here Moses brings the law down to the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of the earth you shall make for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. See? It's after the sacrifices. I'll come to you and I'll bless you. Here's the law. Moses comes down, gives the law to the people. And if it could save you, if it had power in and of itself to save you, if you could perfectly obey you, if you could perfectly obey the law, there would be absolutely no reason to bring that in tow with it. Bring it in behind. Here's the sacrifice. You shall not make anything to be with me, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. An altar of earth you shall make to me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, notice, your sheep and your oxen. So there's no reason for a burnt offering. No one has to die. No animal has to die if you can fulfill the law. But we can't. We need a righteousness apart from the law. And that was the point of the offerings. The point of the offering was what? That you would be made right with God. You have broken His law. You haven't kept His law. So therefore, there has to be a payment for that breaking of the law. And the breaking of the law was what? An offering of an animal. An offering of a lamb. And that's the whole point. If you can keep the law, there's no reason to have an altar and sacrifices and a bunch of dead animals with blood dripping all over the place. If you could keep the law. So it was put out right then. But the Jews said, hey, we'll do all you commanded us, Lord. Said the Lord, we can't keep these. We can't keep your laws. You're a holy God, and we're sinful men and women. But just like today, Lord, we'll do all that you commanded us. That's what most people say. And if you believe you're saved by your works, that's what you're saying. Well, do what you commanded, Lord. You must get it in your head. God was saying, here's my commandments, you must keep them. So rather than trusting in your ability, I point you to my Son, Jesus Christ. That was the point of the law. That's the point of the law then, and it was the point of the law now. Here's my law. You can't keep it. You don't have the power to keep it in and of yourselves. You need a Savior. And we know that that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. The Jew didn't know what his name was, but the Jew knew that he needed a substitute, that he couldn't keep his law. A righteousness apart from the law. You must get it in your head that God's righteousness is to be received apart from any human doing. You cannot do enough. You cannot jump high enough. You cannot jump far enough. That is what separates. Notice what I'm going to say now. A righteousness given to God, given to us from God apart from the law, is what separates biblical Christianity from every religion on the planet. Notice what I said. Biblical Christianity. Not some form of all different perverted forms of Protestant Christianity today and Catholicism. What sets us apart, biblical Christianity, from every religion on the planet is this. The common thread of all the religions of the world is that you must earn the favor of the deity. I don't care what religion you take, from Buddhism to Hinduism to any kind of religion that you can think of. Satanism. You can come up with any religion on the planet, but the common thread they all have is you must earn the favor of the deity. Whatever the deity's name may be, from Allah to Satan. Whatever the deity's name is, the practitioner of that religion must earn the favor of the deity. Where biblical Christianity says the practitioner cannot earn anything from the deity. The deity, in his mercy, in his grace, in his kindness, in his love towards you, has chosen you from before the foundations of the world to set his love upon you and his righteousness upon you, imputed to your account, apart from the law. But every religion says, no, there's some kind of law that we got that you got to appease this deity. That's what separates us from biblical Christianity from all the other religions. And if you are a Christian and you want to be a biblical Christian, if you want to follow the teachings of Peter and Paul and John and Christ, and we'll go all the way back to Abraham, children of Abraham, by faith, Abraham was counted as righteous. If you would have that faith, then you must give up your law keeping, that you think you're earning the favor of the deity, which we know as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because you must realize this, God's plan of salvation humbles man. It humbles man. What I'm saying to you, you can't bring nothing to the table except your sin. And even that is a gift. The Lord grants you repentance. He gives you the knowledge of your need to repent. So even, I repented of my sin. See? You'll hear people say, I repented of my sin. Yes, and that was a gift. The gift of repentance. God's plan of salvation humbles man by insisting that man cannot earn nor keep himself saved. That's the problem with so many works righteousness people. They're keeping themselves saved. And don't get me wrong. Don't hear this and say, I can do whatever I want to do. We're called to discipleship, but that does not save us. It's the fruit of a saved person. Guess what? A disciple of Christ is one that walks the path of discipleship. But it's one thing to know that the deity has favored you, and now you obey him out of love. And it's quite another thing of obeying that deity out of fear that he will not accept you. He will not make you his son. He will not adopt you. He will not have this relationship to you. It's two completely different things. Christianity is not only the religion of that we need so desperately. What I'm saying to you is that true Christianity is not the only religion that you need so desperately. That Christianity is the only religion that's worth having. Everybody needs a religion. That's why there's so many religions on the planet. Everybody needs their fix. Be it if it comes from drugs or booze or success or religion, whatever it is, everybody needs something. We're needy people. We're born needy. So what I'm saying to you, your greatest need is the righteousness of God. Your greatest need is Christ. And not only do you need this, but what I'm telling you, this righteousness of God that's freely given to man, not only do you need it, but it's worth having. It's worth having. And why is it worth having? I'll tell you three reasons why it's worth having. Not only do you need what I'm talking about, a righteousness of God apart from the law, that you need it, but this relationship with God where he gives you his righteousness by faith, it's worth having. And why? Three reasons why. Why not only do you need this, but why it's worth having. First, if salvation is by the gift of God, apart from any human doing, then you can be saved now. That's why not only do you need it, but why it's worth having. The salvation that I'm talking about, you can know now that you have it. Roman Catholicism teaches you can never know that. The Pope doesn't even know if he's saved. But the Bible teaches that you can know that you are saved now. See, if you have a work salvation, you can never know a present experience. You can never know you're saved now because you're always hoping that in the end you'll be saved. That God is going to work out your way out your works, and somehow you're going to be saved. But if you're saved apart from the law, if a righteousness of God is given to you, you can know it now. And God wants you to know it. Now, why do you think the Apostle John said, I've written you these things in order that you would know that you have eternal life? You would know it when? When I get there? No, now. But if you have a works righteousness, you can never know that now. All your life can be, I hope. I hope someday. I hope someday the deity will be pleased by my performance. But the deity is never going to be pleased with my performance because he was pleased with his son's performance. And now I can know that I've been accepted by God. I can experience that now because it's a part for my human doing, but Jesus Christ doing. Not only do you need biblical Christianity, not only do you need it, but it's worth having because you have a salvation of now. The Muslim that blows himself up, he hopes that he will get his virgins and he hopes that Allah will be pleased. But the Christian, by simple faith, says God is pleased because of what Christ has done. And now, son, I'm going to save you now. What do you think Christ meant when he said it's finished? He meant what he said. No, look at Romans 8, verse 1. Now. To know this. This was one of the scriptures that absolutely blew me away, that caused me to fall to the ground and worship the Lord in unspeakable ways. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now. See what I was telling you about your salvation? Why it's worth having. Not only do you need it, but why it's worth it to know that you have been accepted with God, that there is now no condemnation for you who are standing right now, that would hear this message right now, that you stand condemned to hell for eternity right now by simple faith in Jesus Christ. You can have no condemnation. I speak tonight with no condemnation. I've been freed. No condemnation. Bill, you can go free. No condemnation. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. That's why I say it's so damnable to teach that you can lose your salvation, because those verses mean nothing then. What you're saying, if you can lose your salvation, that somewhere along the line, God has to be pleased with my law keeping, and if I fail in that law keeping, I'm damned. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Notice, behold, now is the day of salvation. See? Works righteousness, you live your whole life hoping that someday God will be pleased. But I can lay my head down tonight and know that God is pleased with me, because I've come to Him apart from the law. I've come to Him by simple faith in Jesus Christ, who obeyed the law of God perfectly and earned the favor of God. Jesus Christ has earned the favor of the Father by His obedience to the law, and that has been imputed to my account. And that's the righteousness of God that is given. And you can know it now, how free that is. That the law no longer screams from Mount Sinai, damned, condemned, doomed, lawbreaker. Now all I hear is, behold, my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. This righteousness of God. Notice 1 Colossians. Not 1 Colossians. Colossians 1. I came up with a new book of the Bible. 1 Colossians. Colossians 1. Verses 12 to 14. Giving thanks to the Father. Notice. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Notice, He has qualified us. That's now. That's now talk. See? He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Alright? You have an inheritance. And as I said last week, that inheritance is God Himself. And notice, not only has He qualified us, notice, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Notice the now talk. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. You see that now talk? Has qualified us, has transferred us, and notice, you were in one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and He brought you into the kingdom of His love, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And now that's something else. If you would think that you could lose your salvation, what God takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, transfers you into the kingdom of Jesus Christ and His light, and somehow because of your law breaking, you're thrown back into the kingdom of darkness. Then you're back underneath the law. He has qualified us. He has delivered us. Notice from the power. Once again, not only the penalty of sin, the power of sin. And look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice, we have it. He has qualified us. He has delivered us. And in whom we have redemption now. See, that's why not only do you need Christ, why Christ is worth having. My salvation is secure. And it's secure because of Christ, never because of those law keeping, past, present, or future law keeping, has qualified me. So somehow do I become unqualified? He has delivered me from the power of darkness. How can the world, I was in the power of darkness. How could I earn my salvation? I'm in the power of darkness. And He transfers us, notice, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's the kingdom you're in now, of the Son of His love. not only do you need Christianity, it's way to heaven. That's the first reason, denial of it. The second reason, if salvation is the gift of God, apart from human doing, then salvation is certain. Not only is it now, it's certain. It's certain. If salvation is by human works, then human works or lack thereof can undo your salvation. There's never a certainty. I'm in, I'm out. I'm in, I'm out. I'm damned, I'm good. I'm in heaven, I'm out of heaven. I'm transferred from the kingdom of darkness. Whoop, I'm transferred into the light. Whoop, I'm back into the darkness. Whoop, he loved me, he hates me. I'm saved, I'm not saved. The certainty of your salvation. If it's apart from the law, apart from human doings, if it's simply a gift of God, not only is it now in the present, but it is also certain. Remember this, if you can save yourself, then you can unsave yourself. That's why you got to have the teaching of you can lose your salvation, because so many people teach you did something to get saved in the first place. I made a decision, I raised my hand, I accepted him, so therefore I'm saved. Okay, well then go to the next step. If I undecipher him, if I unaccept him, if I throw him out, then I'm unsaved. Well, the problem was you were never saved in the first place because it was you doing the doing. You were doing the doing. I'm accepting, I'm inviting, I'm, opening. It's all things that you were doing. As opposed to, no, I was damned, I was doomed, I was in the kingdom of darkness, under the power of the kingdom of darkness, pursuing my own ways, pursuing the dictates of my heart, following all those evil desires of my heart that I had the money to fulfill. If I had more money, I would have committed even more sin. And God came to me in that condition and gave me the gift of faith and gave me the gift of repentance, granted me a new heart, drew me to his son, Jesus Christ, raised me from the dead, opened my eyes, and turned my will and my desires towards his loving son now. See, I can't undo that because I never did it to begin with. Amen. But for those who would say, I have always known God, I have always loved God, I have sought after God, God was my heart's desire, I always... Well, if you would save yourself, then you can unsave yourself. As opposed to biblical Christianity teaches a now salvation, a certain salvation, and the last thing about this salvation, why it's not only needed, why it's worth having is this. If salvation is by the gift of God, apart from human doing, then you know what? Human boasting is excluded, and all the glory goes to God. Not only is salvation needed by you, by its worth, it's having, because it's now, it's certain, and it excludes boasting. All the glory goes to God. Everyone that hears this message, that is sitting here right now, must admit that the boasting of people is bad enough on earth. My good looks, my money, my house, my career, my family, etc., etc. Wow, bam, thank you, man. When you hear people boast, it offends everybody. We all hate boasting ourselves. But every human being hates to hear boasting out of other people. And if you save yourself by your law keeping, then guess what? Let me give you an illustration. You see old women in heaven. You see old Tommy down there. You see old Bob down there. You see old Stevie down there in hell. You see my brother down there in hell. My sister, my mother, my father, my grandparents. You see them down there in hell. We're up here in heaven. And you know why they're there? They didn't have what it takes. They're in hell and I'm in heaven because, hey, they didn't have what it takes. They didn't make the big time. They didn't do it. They should have lived a good life like me. They're in hell and I'm in heaven because they didn't live a good life like me. And even if you say that it was your faith that saved you, you would be able to boast. That would be the difference between you and all your family members that are in hell, and neighbors and co-workers and everybody that ever went there. And for all eternity, you could turn around to your friends in heaven and say, you know why I'm here, Pete? Because of my faith. I'm in heaven and they're in hell because of my faith. And you know what? You're here because of your faith. But most boasters, they don't get around to the other person. They're just too busy boasting about themselves. And that is why salvation is not only needed, why it's worth having. Because it's now. You can know of your salvation now. And not only can you know of your salvation now, but you can know with certainty of your salvation in the future. And when you come to God based on His free gift, His righteousness that is freely given to you, it excludes all boasting. And I will end with this verse to show you exactly what I'm talking about. And you know, you hear this verse, most people quote it, and I quote it myself a lot, and I'm glad I do, and I'm glad to hear other people. But they fail to emphasize one little piece in this verse. Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 9. See, everybody, let's start at verse 8. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Notice. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And everybody quotes that, and hallelujah. It's a great verse to know. Right? Now look at verse 9. Not of works. We all emphasize that, right? But you know what we usually don't emphasize? The way verse 9 ends. Lest anyone should boast. See, that's the beauty of true biblical Christianity. A righteousness that is given to us from God, apart from the law, excludes boasting.